to On the Preds. With me, your host, Alex Daugherty of A to Z Sports, and my co-host, as always, Sean Smith. We are back, and the Predators are back because it is time to get the final stretch of hockey underway. All-Star break is behind us, and now the real fun begins. Sean, how's it going?
Alex, it's going really well. You kind of get excited. You know, you get the break with the All-Star game and everything, and that's an exciting time for the players. After you've kind of been going through the grind of the season, it's nice to have a little bit of time just to catch your breath, you know, make sure you're kind of geared up for the rest of the season. But then when it's time for the boys to hit the ice again, it's like, you know what, let's do this. Let's get this done. Let's close this season out strong on the coverage side, and let's make things happen.
Yeah, and it starts tomorrow. So we're recording on Monday as usual, and Tuesday the Predators take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Tough team to play coming off a break because they're a good team and always been a team that has given you fits, and I believe that they beat the Predators last time they played. So we're going to talk today about kind of what the Predators need to do in the final 34 games in order to make the playoffs, if that is their goal, assuming that it is. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some news today about a signing and what that means for the future, because the Predators they made a decision today that I think impacts how next year is going to go. It's not a major one, but it's not insignificant. I mean, it will affect a few things next year, so we'll talk about that as well. But I guess first of all, so there's 34 games left, and I wanted to point this out because I think it's good to have perspective on what it is the Predators have to do in order to make the playoffs, and really demonstrates how difficult this is going to be. I mean, like they've really put themselves in a position where they're not sitting pretty, right? I mean, they've got a lot of work to do. They got to climb some people, and I mean, they're in fifth place in the Central, but in the wild card, so they're fifth place in the Central. They're quite a few points behind the third place team, Minnesota, but they are, let's see, they're currently only 3 points back of Colorado for the wild card. But it's like, I mean, Calgary, Colorado, Edmonton, St. Louis, Vancouver's not really in it. All those teams, and then Vegas is up there. Like, all those teams are right there. So you've got a really tough situation. So here's how I put it. They have 54 points currently. They are probably going to need to get to the 98-point mark by end of season.
Yeah.
In order to make the playoffs. So 98 points. That means 44 points in the final 34 games. That might not sound like a lot, but that is a pretty monumental task. I mean, 22 wins would get you there, but 22 wins out of 34 games is really humming along. That's like really, really solid play. I mean, that's like you're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
So don't think that's going to happen. I can't see this team rolling off 22 wins in the final 34 games, especially looking at the schedule. I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, is this too hard of a hill to climb?
I think when you start looking at it, and you have to be realistic, you know, it's nice to say earlier in the season, well, you know, by the time it's crunch time, then they'll be in a good position or something like that. But the reality here is that there's been enough mediocrity leading up to this point that you're not exactly feeling inspired about their ability to rip off as many points as they need in order to make it. So I think if this is, you know, if you're looking at this, say a third of the way into the season, as opposed to, you know, 5/8 of the way through the season or however the math lines up at this point, you could say, you know, they're going to have to play at a pretty strong pace in order to do this, but you're kind of reaching the point where there's not as many games left as you'd like to be able to make up that kind of point. And because you're this deep into it, you really have to start looking at, well, how do these other teams play? Because the teams that are around you ideally want to make the playoffs as well. These aren't teams that are in the chase for the bottom in order to get a higher draft pick. These are teams that are in the same boat. They want to do well. They obviously want to make the playoffs. Some of them are coming out of rebuild. Some of them may be heading that way. And so they all have different things to prove. So you have to assume that it's not just the Predators that are going to be doing their best to try to get that last spot, but the other teams as well. So it's not just like, oh, well, these teams will just continue on the path they've been on. You're going to see a change in approach from some of them after this All-Star break as well. So really, it just depends on, can the Predators outpace their competition? And
there's going to be points. There's going to be 3-point games. I mean, you're going to play some teams that you're going to go to overtime with. I mean, those games you can no longer just say, well, we'll take the extra, the single point. That Nashville really has to get every single point that it can get. I mean, the way the schedule kind of breaks out, it's like, I think I calculated it. They have, I want to say 12 of their 34 are against bad teams. Let me pull that up real quick. Let's see. Of their final 34 games, 20 of them are against teams with better odds to make the playoffs right now. So teams pretty much above them.
Right.
14 are against bad teams. So like those 14 games, you need to win those. I mean, like,
yeah,
you
win, hands you win, down.
Yeah. If you win those, that would go a long way, but it still won't do it. I mean, you still need more points than that. You can beat all those teams and still not be there. So you're going to have to beat some good teams and, you know, probably quite a few of them. That's, like I think that the task ahead is a tall one.
Are you at all inspired? You know, you said you didn't feel like you saw that happening. Are you at all inspired by the way the team played in the last three games before the break, where they were able to beat some teams that were pretty good? Do you feel encouraged by that, or do you feel like now that they've done that and they've had a long break, that it's going to be harder for them to get that momentum back, as opposed to if they had just been able to keep playing?
I don't know. I think they were finding something that wasn't there before against New Jersey and against
Winnipeg.
It definitely looked better. I mean, like they were winning games completely, you know, like they were kind of dominating for a while. I think there are some pieces putting, falling together that I think are improving. I don't think that they could play even that well and still. I mean, you know, if they play the New Jersey game, stands out as one that was maybe a little bit better in terms of their overall play. I think they did really well in that game, and you know, if they played like that, I could see them winning a lot of games. But we've seen that before. We've seen a couple stretches, and then, you know, they go out tomorrow against Vegas and then just look bad. It's like you're back to falling down.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say after your answer that I'm not super confident, honestly. And I hate that it's probably going to come down to one of those situations like it tends to have done the past several seasons, where it's the last couple of games and you're relying on the Predators to do well and you're counting on some other teams to not do well. In an attempt, in a hope to just squeak into that last wild card spot. And that's not the situation you want to be in year after year.
Yeah, the division, I go back and forth between whether the division or the wild card is really what they need to chase. I mean, the division, only 4 points back of Minnesota, but Winnipeg and Dallas are pretty far ahead.
Yeah.
And then there's Colorado, you know, if they get healthy. It's just... I think that there's not even there's nothing right now that tells me the Predators will be able to just continue that rate and just climb the ladder. I don't see it right now. And then even returning back to play, I mean, like they have Vegas and then they have all the rest of the week off and then they have Philly on Saturday. Let's say they lose to Vegas and then somehow they go into Philly and lose to the Flyers. Boy, that would change the outlook tremendously. I mean, like, just those, if they lost those two games, I think that changes the outlook dramatically. Then you've got to win 22 out of 32, or like 20 games out of your final 32 game, 20 wins out of your final 32 games in order to just make the playoffs. And these are estimates, right? I mean, maybe there's some wiggle room there, but that would be that'll be disastrous.
Yeah.
So it starts this week. I mean, they can't get away from, they cannot drop any points. They need to start building on it. Continuing. Right.
It starts right now, Alex.
Yeah.
There's no time, no time to waste. No time for showing each other vacation pictures and telling engagement stories, Alex. It's time to play hockey. That's what they've got to do. The best hockey they've ever played.
So I did talk to Cody Glass about his engagement.
Yeah?
It was a pretty good conversation. He was I won't share everything, but he basically said that he had been wanting to do it for a while and that he had he walked around for a while with the ring in his pocket for like 3 days. They went to Disney World, and this is just a little bit of information just for the podcast listeners.
Whoa, hey.
I told Sean, he said they went to Disney World and they went to Epcot Center. And do you know which section? You already know.
I already know.
We all know Epcot Center has all the different countries, right? Well, of course, Cody Glass did it. Or like the proposal happened at the Canada section of Epcot Center, which I thought that was perfect.
Well, it's heartwarming. I always think when you have a proposal like that, you know, have you seen the movie Mallrats? Have you seen the movie Mallrats, Alex?
I actually have not seen that.
It's the second Kevin Smith film. You know, it holds an interesting place in cinematic history, but I believe one of the parts of the movie was that one of the main characters was going to take his girlfriend to maybe Universal Studios and propose to her when Jaws pops out of the water. And the comment is, women want adventure and excitement, not Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Okay.
And the response is, hey, everyone wants Mr. Toad's wild ride. So this is a solid engagement. I approve and I support it.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I think he seems pretty happy, and it's that's good to see. We may talk a little bit more about Mr. Glass a little bit later on in the show about something coming that happened recently. But let's first tell the fine folks about Relax the Back, because that's also like getting married, a big decision, right? Deciding whether or not you want to live better, feel better, and sleep better every day. Big decision. I think you choose to do those things. And if you want to do those things, you got to go to Relax the Back. The store is in Green Hills, 2020 Glen Echo Road. Walk in there and you will see, as we've been talking about on this show for a year now, and just recently found out another year of that is coming. So we're very happy about that. But they have tons of customized comfort options for the office, for relaxing at home, for sleeping at night. Ergonomic office chairs, zero gravity chairs, all of them perfect for getting your spine in the correct position so you can work better every day. That's the work better part. What about the sleep better part? If you want better sleep options for when you're trying to go to sleep at night, they have them. And I'll show you on the screen right now. If you're watching on the YouTube, you can see here are some beautiful beds that they have to try out, Tempur-Pedic and Technogel beds, along with the wedge systems and the pillows to get your neck right and your head right, while the bed is getting your spine right. That's the most important part, the correct natural position for sleeping. But you just got to check it all out. Go to Relax the Back store in Green Hills, 2020 Glen Echo Road. A sleep agent is on hand every day. Talk to Glenn. He owns the store, and he will tell you all about the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy body, healthy work, and healthy mind. Okay, Sean, tell everybody what Predators did today that happened sometime today and that they would want to know about.
Gosh, Alex, I don't know if you guys knew this or not. Alex, I don't know if you knew either. Put a little article out about it over at AtoZSports.com. But it appears as though Predators general manager David Poile and forward Cole Smith were able to come to terms on a one-year contract that will keep him in Nashville next season. $775,000 for the year, and it is a one-way contract.
So a one-way contract means he will be in Nashville next year. He will be on the roster he will be playing for the Predators.
Yes.
Unless, you know, injury or anything. I mean,
right.
Presuming no other bad things happen, he will be on the Predators next year. So this is a news story that definitely had a lot of people reacting, and as you might expect, because Cole Smith has become almost a meme in Nashville.
Yeah.
Because of his inability to score a goal for a very long time. And then there were some comments made about him on Twitter, and then comments made about him by certain members of the media. And it's been a long ride. I've talked with Cole Smith several times now. I know you have as well. And it's, you know, I think the guy has a certain level of like stoicism about the whole situation. I mean, he does not seem to be all that bothered by any of this.
No.
But it is still a very curious move. And I think the timing of it is also weird. And so I don't know if you have a hot take right off the bat that you want to go out with on Cole Smith here, but I'll let you go and then I'll go into my thing.
Well, I know what you're going to get into, and so I don't want to step on your toes, but I'll say this. It's a six-figure signing. It's a league minimum signing. It's not something that, I mean, I'm going to say this, and a lot of people will still get upset about it, but you have to have some players like that on your team. You have to have some players like that that will come in and do the jobs that I don't want to say that nobody else wants to do, because there are going to be people that would be more than willing to do those jobs, but it's not a glamorous position to be a fourth liner who is defensively minded. You know, you've got to have somebody who's willing to come in, play those minutes, take those assignments, take those responsibilities, and do well with them. And we've seen in the past, there've been plenty of fourth line forwards who have been very good at taking penalties. And you know, third pairing defenders who have been very good at trying to make up for their speed with their stick. And that causes a lot of trips to the penalty box, which turns into a lot of penalty kills, which turns into a lot of power play goals by the opposition. And so you've got someone on the team who comes from, let's be realistic, he's undrafted. You know, he doesn't have this big major pedigree. He played at UND. That's a pretty good feather in your cap, and he had a good career there. And he played really well in the AHL last season. So it's not like he has nothing to rest on. You know, he's got some laurels, but he's playing at a higher level. And he's doing, I think, defensively a solid job. It's somebody they know. It's somebody they know is going to grind. It's somebody they know is going to come in and is willing to lay it all on the line for the team. And quite frankly, at a pretty solid price.
Yeah, the price, I mean, no one can complain about the price because it's almost the exact minimum you can pay. I think that the bigger issue is these mid-season signings where you are signing a player who, I mean, this has happened several times for the Predators in the past where they've signed a player that they probably could have just waited until the summer, seen what else was out there, and then made the decision. Because, I mean, just in terms of negotiation, Cole Smith is on this team. I think most people think, and I think this is probably accurate, that if he were to be a UFA and to test the free agent market, Nashville would stand just as much of a chance to land him, should they so choose, in July as they would in now. I mean, like, obviously right now they're the only ones that can negotiate with him. But, you know, the urgency to sign a Cole Smith right now doesn't make much sense, considering you already have a pretty complex puzzle to solve money-wise and also roster size-wise or roster spot-wise. So it's almost like they had a really complicated puzzle and they just went ahead and just glued a piece to the board and were like, well, this piece is going to be here no matter what, so we're going to have to build the rest of the puzzle around this one. It doesn't make much sense. Why would you do this now? You know, that's setting that aside. John Hines clearly is a big fan of Cole Smith, wants to play him, That is has never been argued. That is very clearly the case. So John Hines is going to be here next year. He wants his guy. So he's got his guy. That's going to be – he's going to be right. So Cole Smith is going to play next year, right? I mean, like, there's no way around that. But the number-wise – all right, so I just looked on Cap Friendly. So the Predators now have 9 forwards locked into next year. 9 of – let's say they were going to carry 14 because they've basically been rolling with 13 this year. Maybe they have 7 or 8 defense. So let's say it's 14, 9 of their 14 forward spots. Let's say it's 13 because they're carrying 13 right now. So 9 of their 13 forward spots are locked in. 9 of their 13. So there's at least 4 remaining. Cody Glass is, in my opinion, a 100% lock. He will be here next year. They will sign Cody Glass. I mean, he's an RFA. Obviously, he's going to be here, but I think it's like stone cold lock. Tanner Jeannot, same thing with him. I think that's pretty clearly there. I think it's like more like 90%, but I think he's probably going to be here as well. Tommy Novak, I think pretty sure he's going to be back. I'm like 80% on that, maybe. Less sure than Jeannot, but I think, right? Only because there was that weird gap last year where he just didn't play.
Yeah.
So like maybe that happens again. I don't know. So let's say that those three are going to be here. Glass, Jeannot, Novak. So that's 12 of your 13 forwards. Whoever that 13th forward is, right now that would be Jankowski, but he's a UFA. I mean, I think a lot of people would just peg that as being Tomasino, but I guess my point is, you've essentially shut yourself out of any free agency for forwards. You are now saying to the world, we are not going to even dive into any free agency stuff. We're not going to try to drive prices up. We're not going to try to shop around. We're not going to try to go find better players unless there's a trade coming. That, you know, you've said, nope, our forward crew is basically locked.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Well, if that's the case, you know, when you're essentially saying we're good on forwards, then that's not very encouraging.
No.
I don't think.
That's an issue. That's a problem for this team.
Yeah. You know, the forward core has not produced offensively at a level that you would expect, especially when compared to last season. And kind of doubling down on that same crew and saying, we're going to keep some of these guys, especially, you know, saying, hey, we're going to keep Cole Smith. And I'll take everything I said before. That still holds true. But if you're looking for offensive production, that's not the place to look.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to look anywhere else, where is it going to come from, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, they do have, so and the money side that I was talking about earlier. So like I mentioned this, I should pay off that I mentioned it. They have around 11 million, maybe a little bit. It's a little less than 12 million left. So like of that, they've got to sign Cody Glass. They've got to sign Tanner Jeannot. They've got to sign Tommy Novak. Those are all three RFAs, all three of which are arbitration eligible. So they could go to arbitration. Let's say that combined, those guys take up 6 million. That might be a little conservative. But let's say that half of that 11.9 million is taken up by those three guys, Cody Glass, Tanner Jeannot, Tommy Novak. I think that's probably pretty close. Then that leaves 6 million, less than 6 million for your other two big RFAs, Dante Fabbro and Alex Carrier. I don't think it's enough to keep both of them. I mean, I mean, obviously Dante Fabbro gets at least 2.4. I think they want to sign Alex Carrier to maybe a long-term deal. I mean, maybe that's enough. Maybe the money is not as bad as I'm thinking now that I'm talking it out. But I still think that they've put themselves in a position where they now have less room. They have a decent amount of money, but they have less room to do it. Like they have to make – they've kind of locked themselves into their roster for next year in terms of spots.
Yeah, you're right. It's a problem.
And by the way, that they also don't have a backup goalie for next year. I mean, people might think that they have intentions of rolling with Askarov next year, but you know, I mean, and maybe they do that, but
I don't know that they think he's ready though. You know, they've gotten with Kevin Lankinen in this season, just a 1-year contract at a reasonable price. They've gotten really good value out of a backup goaltender. If you take into consideration what they were dealing with last season with Riddick as a backup, this is a massive upgrade. And my concern is with Lankinen having a contract that expires, he's going to look awfully good to a lot of other teams carrying those kind of numbers, especially when, as we looked at the underlying defensive numbers with Nashville, have not been great. This tells you that Lankinen is a goaltender you could bring into your organization and he could be a difference maker for your team. So, you know, I don't think they're, even if they wanted to keep him, I don't know if they could afford it.
Yeah, I think they might think Askarov is ready. I don't know. I don't remember. So Saros had a year in Milwaukee and then like basically 2 years where he didn't do anything behind Rene, like very spot starts. Let me double check that. Yeah. His development was very long.
Yeah.
But Askarov is just a different prospect. Yeah, he had a full year in Milwaukee and then 21 games in his 21-year-old year, 26, 31, 40. So, like, Askarov would be more like – maybe, yeah. He could definitely be ready next year. Yeah, I mean, he's ahead of Saros in terms of his debut, and he's obviously, like – I think he's definitely a higher – ceiling prospect than even Saros, but anyways, the goaltending thing is really less important for this conversation. But I just think back to the forward thing. I just think that this decision is really strange because you've now before you've even done with this year, you have already decided that most of my forward spots for next year, especially because it's really 12 of your 13 forward spots, because those RFAs are going to be on the team next year. 12 of your 13 forward spots, you're just saying, yep, all these guys are going to be back.
Well,
that's
a very strange
decision.
But we're also going on the assumption that nobody gets traded.
Nobody gets traded, right. So that was why I said earlier today, I mean, it does feel like someone's going to get traded.
Yeah.
I don't know if by the deadline or if after the season before the draft or at the draft, or, you know, there's a lot of options there, but it, you know, you've already locked yourself. Oh, well, you know why, if you were going to do a trade, you didn't need to sign Cole Smith to this deal. Now, still, you could do that in July. Again, he's probably not going to have a lot of people knocking on the door, and you could just be like, hey, let's talk in July. We want you back, but we want to look at some other options first.
You're right. I mean, it's kind of a head scratcher.
Yeah. So that being said, if you're hoping next year for a different forward core, as of right now, it doesn't look like that way.
Better hope for some trades then, kids. Yeah.
Defensively, you know, four of the guys are locked up. I mean, so it's like Yossi, McDonough, Ekholm, Lozon. I mean, I think we're all kind of assuming that Borowiecki's going to retire or not be back, or
don't know. I mean, contract's up, hasn't played since the injury.
I think he's probably not going to be back. So then it's like, who, you know, Fabro or Carrier, assuming that it's one of those two, probably Carrier, Kevin Gravel, Jordan Gross. That's the other seventh defenseman?
Maybe. I don't know.
Sixth defenseman, sorry.
Gross hasn't been bad.
The defensive prospects right now is kind of a tricky situation because it's like, you know, how far – I like the idea of Prokop and Mateer and who's the other guy? the really young guys. UFCO, Ryan UFCO.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are probably several years away, right? I mean, I don't think those guys are.
I would say, yeah.
They're not plug in next year. I mean, those guys are good, but.
Yeah, they're not next year guys. Probably. I don't think. I'm not the expert on that, though, but.
Yeah. But there we go. So this week, the Predators have Vegas tomorrow night, Tuesday, and then Saturday at Philadelphia. So we're running into another thing where the Predators play next Monday against Arizona. So are we recording next Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. No, we're not
going to do a football game that night, Alex. I don't know if we will
record a show. Maybe we go during the one of us is going to be at the game.
I'll be at that game. It's the PK retirement game, they're honoring PK that game.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. We've got time.
Okay, all right, we'll figure that out. So we'll be back next week. We just don't know exactly when. Maybe Tuesday. I don't know. Who knows? But until then, thanks for listening. We really appreciate everyone who listens to the show and or watches the show. You can check out all of our Preds coverage on AtoZSports.com. We have a lot of stuff there. Go check it out. Every day we post something. So go read it there. You can also follow me on Twitter at AlexDarty1. Follow Sean at SCSNSH. And we'll see everybody next week.